You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, we'll talk to a former state lawmaker about Governor Walker's State of the State address last night.
First, getting a roundup of that State of the State speech from WPR state government reporter Sean Johnson. He joins us now from the state capitol. Sean, welcome back.
Hey, Rob.
Well, what were the highlights from last night's speech? What were the big newsmakers?
I guess if you look at new stuff that was introduced in the governor's speech, there wasn't actually a whole lot. I think you could say there were a couple proposals in there that were actually new. One of those was the governor floated this idea that we might move to a self-insurance plan in state government and use the savings plow the savings back into public education, into K-12 education. The thing with that is he didn't exactly endorse making that change. In fact, today he's saying he's not 100% for that. And even if he was, there are a couple competing studies out there. One says it would save the state money. One says it would cost the state a lot of money. So that's not exactly huge earth-shattering news, especially if the governor is not putting his full force behind it. Another thing that he talked about was working with the University of Wisconsin to explore providing a 3-year degree that somebody could start on when they're in high school and finish in college. And then beyond that, he talked about a college affordability plan that he'd actually floated before the address that would allow for the full deduction of student loan interest on state income taxes and increase grants for technical colleges. But that was the new stuff. And beyond that, it was a longer speech than the governor has given in, you know, years past for a State of the State address. But even though it was longer, there wasn't a lot of new material in there. And even though this was his first speech since leaving the presidential campaign, there were still remnants of that presidential campaign stump speech in there. He hit a lot on those same themes that he's been hitting on for the past couple of years.
This was not a speech, and I think people were expecting this to be the case, actually. This was not a speech where a lot of big new vision, a lot of bold new ideas were coming, and nobody thought there would be.
He has a couple things, I guess, working against him there. I mean, a big one is that the legislature is only going to be in for another couple months this year, and that means they're only going to be actually on the floor of the legislature for, you know, counting today, I think maybe four or five more days in the Senate, maybe 3 more days in the Assembly. It's not a lot of time if you've got a big new idea to get it moved through the legislature, because it's an election year and they're going to get done here at the Capitol, and that'll basically be it as far as their time working on big stuff. And, you know, it's not a budget year for the governor, which is typically when you see the big proposals come out is in the budget. So, you know, I think you got to wait basically another year to find those.
There's no budget, and there's no budget reform bill where we've seen big splashes made with Act 10, for example.
No, but we did hear from Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald that we might see new budget numbers out soon that show that things aren't quite as good as Republicans had hoped. He said that doesn't mean that we're going to need to have kind of a budget repair bill. But if there's less money than the state was hoping for, he said that could affect what they pass in those remaining couple months.
Well, Sean, we'll be talking to you about that and I'm sure some of the last minute flurry of legislation. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks, Rob.
That was WPR state government reporter Sean Johnson giving us the details on last night's State of the State address. And now from the State of the State and beyond, 2016 is shaping up to be still a big year in Wisconsin politics. We've got a Supreme Court election, a lot of new bills, as we mentioned, in the state capitol and national elections in November. Former Democratic State Senator Chuck Koala joins us now. He's currently the owner of Koala Law Offices and one half of the Insiders, a political talk show on WisOpinion.com. The other half of the team turned out not to be able to join us today, former Republican State Senator Ted Canevas. So, Chuck, you're flying solo. Thanks for joining us today.
I'm happy to be here, and it's great to have the Democratic message unfettered. Now, I'm sure that Ted is listening carefully and will get me on the next WisPolitics podcast.
And he can comment on the Central Time Facebook page and argue
there
with
you
via that.
There you go.
So we got that recap of last night's State of the State. Anything that struck you, anything that surprised you?
Well, I thought that, frankly, Scott Walker could have listed all the people in the state that he wasn't introducing. It would have taken less time. I mean, as your reporter, Sean, pointed out, there wasn't a lot of substance there. They spent a lot of time introducing people, which is a common thing that's happened now, with especially at state governments, even happens at the national level. And then he cited a lot of statistics that really were meaningless. You know, the old story that statistics lie. The reality is that we are a 30-something in Wisconsin. What is that? We're a 30-something in that we're always in the 30s in terms of the states, in terms of job creation. We're in the bottom half. We're in the bottom third oftentimes, sometimes in the bottom quarter in job creation. We are last, dead last in the Midwest. There's no amount of talking about the unemployment rate being low, et cetera, or the number of absolute number of people employed that will overcome the fact that we are just low in comparison to everyone else. And I think that he made a very strong effort to talk about how great the state was doing when, in fact, the statistics belie that.
Well, but the unemployment rate is low, lower than the national average. He referred to people on the left and in the media emphasizing the negative. That's a good number to see, the low unemployment rate.
Wisconsin almost always is lower than the national unemployment rate, and that's just kind of the nature of where we are in the Midwest, and that we aren't the high flyer and we don't have a lot of new growth in terms of population. One of the problems that we have, and this is one of the untold stories of the immigration debate, is that you actually need growth in population in order to have growth. And one of the reasons that you just heard Sean mention that the Republicans are thinking they're not going to have as much money in the budget. Well, why is that? That's because growth in Wisconsin is not what it should be. And so the problem is we don't have enough people coming into the workforce in order to grow our employment base. So you can have low unemployment but still not be doing well as a state, and that's right where Wisconsin is right now.
Well, another focus in the address last night, as Sean mentioned, was college affordability for people going into college, people in college, people out of college, and their student loan debt. He has a package there. Democrats saying yes, and we need to go a lot further than that. Do you see this as something that maybe the governor and Democrats and Republicans in the legislature can find some middle ground on, actually accomplish something that'll make a difference?
They should be able to, for this reason. This is not something Scott Walker wants to do. He knows that it is a burning issue out there. And the problem is that he is putting something on only because he knows that he has really, the Republicans are getting burned on this nationally. Young people understand that they are being cheated. They're paying a fortune for their education and they're not able to get jobs when they get out. Democrats know that this has to be addressed, and they're putting out some big plans. To be honest with you, and of course, remember, I'm a Democrat, this is very weak tea that Scott Walker is putting out there. Look at how much it costs to do what Scott Walker is suggesting. That will tell you how substantive the proposal is. He's proposing very little money. It's something to show that we are doing something without really doing something. What's the old Lonnie Anderson line? Is there anything I can do without really getting involved? That's kind of the Scott Walker prescription on student debt.
A legislative session coming to a close pretty soon. Civil service reforms in the work, stem cell research bans, and lots of smaller pieces of legislation. People are, I think, stuff that's personal in some cases to a lot of lawmakers. Actually, let me ask you about that. You were in the legislature. Is there that thing like, okay, we've done the big stuff, folks, I've got this thing. I want to do it. Can we do this?
I can remember at least one legislator who absolutely had to pass something because he hadn't done anything for the last 2 years and had to get it done, no matter how small it was. And sometimes, you know, as a leader, you'll try to accommodate that as long as it doesn't hurt anybody, and maybe it's important to that lawmaker. But the reality is here, there are two things that maybe are worth talking about. One is the civil service reform. Oh, my goodness. Wisconsin, one of the untold stories about Wisconsin is we have a surprisingly small percentage of people in public service, and yet we get great service out of them. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Why are we messing with civil service? It's served us well in Wisconsin and in many places across the country. And I'll tell you what, I think it's just a continual march against public employees. Very disappointing, and particularly disappointing when you have things like the Wisconsin pension system that the governor's going after, which is maybe one of the best, if not the best in the country, or our civil service system, which provides us with a state and local government employee ratio to public people out there that is extraordinarily low, and we get great service. So that's really, really disturbing to me that they're going after that. What was the other one you mentioned?
Stem cell research.
Wow. Do we really want to brand Wisconsin as the place that is unwelcome to people who are researching in this area? I can't tell you how many people, when I was in the legislature and this was an issue, brought up the fact that if we can do something to help my mother or to help my child who has this dread disease, let's do whatever we can. And yet somehow we are going to be the state that is holding everyone back. Here we had Jamie Thompson on the cover of Time magazine years ago, and we're trying to say, no, we are not user-friendly when it comes to researchers at the University of Wisconsin dealing with stem cell research. That is about as bad as you can be on branding the state of Wisconsin. And whether it passes or not, the fact that we even have an opportunity to talk about it on this program is a really negative thing for Wisconsin, and particularly the UW.
And one more policy item from State of the State, this idea, and it's been floated already, self-insurance, the state being its own insurance provider, in effect, for public employees. Early stages here, legislators not necessarily jumping on board, dueling studies out there. What do you make of where this one's going to go?
Well, I think Sean also, again, said we've only got a few sessions left, and this is not the time when you take on something controversial like this and get it done. But it's a really bad idea whose time will never come. You just hope that it doesn't happen in the next budget.
We're talking now with former Democratic State Senator Chuck Quall about what to watch for in state politics this year, and you can join the conversation, too.
Are there any bills or new laws that you're keeping an eye on this year? What did you think of the governor's State of the State address last night? And how do you think Wisconsin will vote in state and national elections in 2016? Call us now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or leave us a comment on the Central Time Facebook page. We're talking about things to watch for in Wisconsin politics this year, and we want to hear from you.
Are there any bills or new laws you're keeping an eye on this year? What did you think of the governor's State of the State? And looking ahead, how do you think Wisconsin will vote in the race for Senate, Supreme Court, the presidential race in primaries and in November? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We continue our conversation now with former Democratic State Senator Chuck Quall. Before we move on to elections, we'll bring in some listeners. Ben is with us in La Crosse. Ben, hi.
Hi.
What do you think?
Two issues that I'm very concerned about. One of them is the attempt to reduce the protections involved in licensing new nuclear power plants. I think it's a terrible idea. Anybody who's been paying any attention to what happened in Fukushima in Japan knows that the government there is still dealing with the aftermath of that. The problems are proving intractable. They really don't have any sort of engineering solution for the radiation pollution that's taking place, even though they've tried everything they can think of. There are large areas that are still uninhabitable.
And Ben, what was the other issue you wanted to bring up?
Wisconsin. The other one is the change in the property tax law for forest in Wisconsin, which is a big giveaway to the lumber industry and heaps even more of the property tax burden onto residential property owners.
Ben, thanks a lot for the call. Chuck, let's start with nuclear power. We've had this, I don't know if it's technically a moratorium, but the restrictions are strict enough that, yeah, you can't build a nuclear power plant here. Maybe we're going to relax that. What do you think?
Well, it's an interesting topic, and it's not one where it absolutely breaks down on Republican and Democratic lines. And the reason for it is this. I mean, historically, for example, back in the early 80s, mid-80s, when I was around when some of these nuclear freezes and nuclear bans were being put on, the issue at that time was nuclear was dangerous, as it still is, and nuclear was also something that was a major corporate involvement. It's still a major corporate investment. It is not the same as solar or wind, where you might be able to do it on a smaller scale. But the thing that is bringing Democrats around to some extent, certain ones, is because the overriding issue of climate change. We just realized that we have to address the issue of our carbon footprint. And nuclear power is one thing that gets us away from that. The problem is you'd hate to think that we have to do it that way when solar is coming down and costs so much and wind is another viable option and we have so many other things that we can do, conservation, et cetera. But what's happened is that Democrats are not as opposed as they used to because they realize the climate change issue and the carbon footprint is so dramatic. Nuclear power is one way to get away from it. And that's the reason that Democrats, you're not seeing Democrats as viciously and strongly against it. But a lot of people who are concerned that this is another way that the electric industry and gas industry and the corporate elements will be able to control our energy future. So those are the balances. I think on balance, nuclear is still very expensive and still very dangerous. I think most of us would like to see us move more towards solar and other sources. But the carbon footprint thing is such a dominant issue. That's what's happening there.
And he also mentioned a change in tax laws related to forest land. Part of a wider issue is Republicans saying, hey, we're going to end some regulations, loosen regulations, give property owners more ability to do what they need to do, possibly create jobs, they say, while still protecting our conservation needs.
Well, on the forest the caller is right. I mean, the reality is that all of the property tax continues to be dumped on the homeowner and the renter, frankly. And everybody else has their own exemptions, including the big timber industry. He's absolutely right. And this is part of that exemption that they're getting, which is and this is reducing regulations. You know, they're supposed to give access to people for hunting and other public uses. So, you know, WMC has all the manufacturing and machinery equipment exemption. I mean, every special interest has their exemption except for the homeowner. So the caller's right about that, and it's something to be addressed. The lack of regulation usually comes down to some special interest that's wanting to do something that isn't necessarily good for the public. Not always, and there are times when regulation is excessive, and I've certainly seen it. But more often, what we're dealing with is making sure that our water and our air is clean, and those are things we want to protect.
Take another caller now. Todd is with us in Montello. Todd, hi.
Hello. Hey, my concern is this bill that's before the Senate and the Assembly on a fast track allowing aquaculture concerns to tap into streams, headwaters, spring waters, all kinds of different things without any limit to the amount of water they can use and abuse. And I'm just really concerned that, you know, our trout fishery, cold water fisheries are going to be irreparably damaged by some of these actions.
Todd, thanks for the call. Fish farming is not one. I'll level with you, Chuck. I haven't tracked this one. Have you?
Well, a little bit, and I think the caller's onto something that is really not visible. And these are the little things that happen that you really worry about because it could slip through. And the caller is absolutely right. We have this amazing thing in Wisconsin of these trout streams that are within 15 minutes of downtown Madison or at least the edge of Madison, Black Earth Creek, et cetera. And this is all throughout the state. So not all throughout, but southwest Wisconsin, many areas that have wonderful trout streams. And the ability of people to access in an unlimited way our water supply is a really dangerous proposition. And it has impacts far beyond just trout streams, but that's the most visible and first thing out of the box. As we go forward, water is going to become a more and more precious resource. We should not let entities be able to tap into that without any restrictions on them because that will give us problems in the long run. I think the caller's on to it, and frankly, it's not something that anybody's paying attention to.
Todd, thanks for the call. We're talking to former Democratic State Senator Chuck Kuala about the year in politics. Now, let's tell a tale of three elections here. We've got a few coming up, biggies. State Supreme Court, it doesn't, conservative-liberal split, as the media describes it, doesn't hang in the balance here. Your thoughts on this race, though? This is a spring race.
It's still very important. I mean, people underestimate the importance of Supreme Court races. The turnout is lowest because it's a spring election. This is a rematch, some might say, of a referendum on Scott Walker. The previous election was David Prosser versus Joanne Kloppenburg, and Prosser won. In fact, many people thought Kloppenburg was going to win. In fact, I was one of those people who was watching the results, and she was slightly ahead, and all of a sudden from Waukesha County came in 15,000 votes, and the election shifted to Justice Prosser. Awesome, yeah. I remember when he served in the Assembly. Now that race is coming back again with Rebecca Bradley, and it's her against Kloppenburg. Again, it's conservative versus progressive. Big money has now taken over Supreme Court races. The balance is not at stake. You're absolutely correct. But if progressives want any chance to at any time take over the Supreme Court in the near future, this is a critical race. And this may be another referendum on Walker. His popularity is down. If Kloppenburg wins, that means that you will not have a Republican governor next year. I would say that's about an 80-90% probability.
It's a bellwether election.
It will be a bellwether election. Now, if she loses, it doesn't mean you will still have a Republican, but it would be so overwhelming if she won that I think you would see the Republicans go out of power in the next gubernatorial election.
Moving ahead to November, Senate race, Russ Feingold, Ron Johnson, speaking of rematches.
It is a rematch, and I think you're going to see it flip. Russ Feingold is, I don't know how the election was lost. I guess I do know. It was a wave Republican year. Ron Johnson has done nothing to distinguish himself in the Senate, and I think it's going to be Feingold by probably about 5%. And I think he'll run an effective race. And again, Ron Johnson is not impressing even Republicans in Washington, D.C.
And the big ticket, the presidential race. Who does Wisconsin like in the two primaries, and who does it like in the runoff?
Oh, this I'll tell you, this is an amazing primary season. On the Democratic side, you're seeing the different elements of the Democratic Party defined by Bernie Sanders, who is the kind of the traditional left that says that it's economic populism versus what some people see as a more corporatist Hillary Clinton, but some people would say a person who focuses on other issues and wants to make sure that we run the country. An amazing resume, the first woman who will be president. If I had to bet, I'd say right now Hillary Clinton's going to be president. However, that's not looking like the way it is out in the polls. She's losing in Iowa, she's losing in New Hampshire, and she may lose in Wisconsin. And if that happens, we're going to have a different thing. The Republican side, I wish Ted was here to talk about it, but I'll tell you, Donald Trump, who would believe that the guy is still viable? I mean, is racism and bigotry really that popular in this country? I guess for some people it is, but I just have to believe that the Republicans will get away with that. We'll get away from that. If it's Trump versus Clinton, it's going to be a runaway. Hillary Clinton will win. If it's Trump versus Bernie Sanders, oh my God, you have the far right and the far left, and God help us if, well, from my perspective, if Donald Trump wins.
Chuck, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
It's former Democratic State Senator Chuck Kuala talking about what we can expect from the world of Wisconsin politics in 2016.